check out the podium. Look at this.
Mr. Reynolds has apparently changed his name to Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, that's right. Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
Great. Petit déjeuner. That category is about French phrases, so let's just skip it.
Hey, I speak a little French. You're an ass bite. Pardon my French. Yeah, I'll take the condom thing for $8,000.
That's condiments. For $400. Burt Reynolds.
That's not my name.
Okay. Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want? Why don't you give me $8,000 for $200?
It's not $8,000.
Turd Ferguson himself, Norm MacDonald, passed away at the age of 61 yesterday after a private 9-year battle with cancer. He was one of the greatest comedians of our time, very deadpan, always funny, and it's so sad. So please send prayers to his family and friends at this time. Have you felt the world has lost its mind? That people don't have common sense anymore? Don't fear! This Common Sensecrat is here and you're not alone. You may agree, disagree, or just want to listen. If you're always up for a good time with some humor and some real talk, then you are in the right place. I'm going to update you all with the latest news in politics, culture, lifestyle, fashion, so much more. I am your host, Carrington Rowe, so gear up for the harshest truth. Not the sweetest lie. Let's go.
My opponent, Governor Gavin Newsom. Come on. Let's be gracious. Let's be gracious in defeat. And by the way, we may have lost the battle, but we are going to win the war.
Oh, Larry Elder. He sure was gracious, wasn't he? Boy, if that were me, I'd be like, that's interesting, very convenient, but this is not done. This is not over. And I know that's what he's saying, but I would have been a little more threatening with that probably, because the people are done. The people are so over it. The people are over being screwed over. I mean, they're done. So Larry Elder being that calm, I'm like, wow, you are very, very gracious. But he is a very gracious man. So I can't, I don't know him personally, but he seems like a gracious man, very calm, cool, collected, which is fine. And you know, it's funny, right after Gavin Newsom, after Gavin Newsom is remaining in office, which is very disappointing. The Democrats, of course, want to limit future recalls. Now, isn't that something? I wonder why. Because they were so close to losing. So close. The numbers showed it all in the very beginning. Very, very beginning. And they were very scared. And of course, people... I mean, you noticed it in his tone, didn't you? The Republicans are attacking me. I mean, you heard it in his tone every time he'd go out to the press and talk about it. And it was just like, whoa. He's like a little stomping his feet, 5-year-old. He's like, no one defeats me. No one. But yet the numbers just kept showing, oh, you just might, bitch. But in all seriousness, though, I was watching Rob Schmidt last night. And first off, people were texting me. They're like, why the hell do you care about the California recall? You don't live in California. I said, listen, I care because guess what? Unfortunately, California is a part of the United States. So yes, I care. And I also talk about national issues. So yes, I do care. Also because I have friends and family that live there. So yeah. And also it's you know, unfortunately for all the blue states or blue cities, it's a beautiful state. I mean, regardless of all the bull crap it goes through all the time, it's a beautiful state. It's a shame, you know, it's just such a beautiful state. But let me just play for you really quickly here. Rob Schmidt, after he went over the numbers and after this was the end of Gavin Newsom's talk to the press, this is what he had to say here.
But resolved in the spirit of my political hero, Robert Kennedy.
Whatever, Gavin.
To make more gentle the life of this world. Thank you all very much.
He's crying.
To 40 million Americans, 40 million Californians.
Oh, whatever.
For rejecting this.
Oh, shut up.
All right, there you have it. Governor Gavin Newsom there. He's going to have to do this all over again in 1 year, but he's very relieved tonight. The truth of the matter about this is that Democrats panicked. They panicked big time over this because he's probably got presidential ambition someday. He's got the look. The Democrats love him. He's big with all the right people and all the big names. He had Obama. He had Biden. He had Kamala out there campaigning for him. They freaked out over this because this was an assault on their establishment in a state that they freaking own.
Exactly. They were spooked big time. I mean, they got really scared that it was going to get taken away from them. So, of course, they do what they always do. They cheat. They do what they always do. Like, do you guys see on, I'm sure you guys did or didn't, I don't know, but did you notice that, and I watched this on, and I flipped around back and forth between, you know, CNN, all the other liberals, so CNN, MSNBC, all the places that were showing the numbers of Gavin Newsom, right? I literally watched in person, I don't know if you guys were paying attention, but I did. And I was looking at the numbers because Rob was just talking about the numbers. He didn't show the numbers. So I went to places that I knew would show the numbers. Love you, Rob. But, you know, sometimes he doesn't show the numbers. He just talks about them. But anyway, I looked at CNN Live and it dropped 45,000 votes. 45,000 votes dropped from Elder on CNN in like 2 minutes. I mean, it was fast. Anyone else see that? For those of you paying attention, I sure did. So it wouldn't even surprise me if Nancy Pelosi called her people because, again, in case you don't know this, Nancy Pelosi is Gavin Newsom's aunt. So she, you know, has her little connections, well, actually big connections, not little, because she's got George Soros under her belt. She's got all these big dogs like B.O., Barack Obama, and all that. I mean, she's got the big dogs just to save her nephew. Oh, yeah, so we need to save my nephew, Gavin, because he's going to be president someday. Yes, and I think he'd be a great president. Oh, my gosh, because I won't be living to see that, but he'll be the best president. Anyway, enough of my Nancy Pelosi impression, or Liosi, hypocrisy. Anyway, I can call her all kinds of names. But here's what's really difficult to explain to people. And this is the part, besides the election being rigged and all that, we could talk about that till the cows come home, okay? Because there's so many things wrong. And it was all over KTLA of what was wrong. And that was just in LA. Yeah. So look those videos up on your Instagram or wherever, because they're on there. Unless, you know, Instagram blocked it, then probably not. But anyway, KTLA was posting all about this. Even James Klug, who's a news contributor and all that kind of stuff, correspondent and all that for Newsmax, and he's done his own live stuff for a very long time. But here's the really difficult thing to explain to people, especially if you haven't ran a campaign or been involved in a campaign. Now, I have never been involved in a campaign or ran a campaign. However, I have met many campaign people. I have asked them questions. I've really dug deep into how the process works, just by looking at where they're appearing, what's happening, what speeches they're preparing. I'm looking as just an actual American citizen looking for who I'm going to vote for, right? And just kind of really getting the nitty gritty details on as much as I can anyway, without being involved in a campaign. But I know one thing about running a campaign, and that is to stay on message. And I feel like right now everybody is emotional, everybody's on edge, everybody is just, especially since COVID and Delta and all these other things, the Mu, whatever variants they'll come up with tomorrow, right? Or today even, they could be creating a new one as we speak, but that's besides the point. The point is you gotta stay on message, and I feel like, and I noticed the numbers through the whole thing, ever since the recall started, and California, I'm very disappointed, by the way, because California, you worked your asses off to get those numbers to get to over 2 million signatures to do the recall. Where were you on the recall? Now, I get it. By the time the election actually came about, you had the Republicans who went like this, well, screw it. The election's rigged anyhow, so who cares? So you're like, ugh. You just kind of, like, that's not the spirit we need. I get your mind, I get it, but that's not the mindset we need right now. What happened to the spirit when you got over 2 million signatures? And they even tried to cheat them, but we got the recall, didn't we? We got the recall election to come about, right? We made it happen. So where was that same spirit on the actual recall election? Unfortunately, you didn't beat the algorithm enough. That's the whole point. You got to really think about the algorithms here. Because it's all in the machines, folks. All in the machines. Pay attention to those. But anyway, you can do that research on your own time. But the whole point is you got to stay on message. Because the media and the people can be kind of, they can be followers. They can be huge followers. And they can really steer your message. But that's only if you let them steer your message, right? That's only if you let the media steer your message. So here's what happened. And I noticed the numbers start to change the moment it became Newsom versus Elder. All of a sudden, the threat was in, right? Because originally, when Caitlyn Jenner was running, I mean, Caitlyn, she couldn't stay on message very well. And that's the reason Caitlyn kind of wasn't as quick as I thought, but Caitlyn kind of was swept under the rug, let's say. Caitlyn just kind of went bye-bye. Because she couldn't stay on message. Well, it's really Bruce. But we could, you know, point is, Jenner could not stay on message. Once it became Newsom versus Elder or Newsom versus a specific candidate, Newsom had this in the bag. Because, and here's the problem, the media adores Larry Elder. The media wanted to make it all about Larry Elder, right? Now, Elder and the conservative movement with the other conservatives and all that stuff, that helped them. That was a big thing right now. Huge. But my whole thing is I wish they would have, they were on Fox way too much. They should have chosen their media outlets very carefully because they know the media is rigged too. The media is just a bunch of liars, including Fox these days. And I hate to say that, but it's the truth. Now, of course, he was on Newsmax a couple of times. I followed his whole campaign the best I could. But here was the problem with the message. Their message was, vote for me, vote for me, vote for me, because I won't do this. Well, they should have immediately gone, because they need to start doing the attack mode. The Democrats do it all the time. But see, this shows that the Republicans are nice. They're soft. Here we go again. They're showing their nice side. And that's great, but the Democrats play dirty. So the message immediately, if they wanted to play their game, the message should have been, this recall is about Newsom, not me. This recall, you all wanted the recall because you want Newsom gone. Again, not me. I'm here to help you guys. I'm here. I am here to make sure the wildfires are under control. Newsom didn't do that for you. So it literally should, and some of the other things you had to do, you had to talk about the issues. Okay. You want the, okay, here be the big message. That if I, let's just say if I were running against Gavin Newsom, this would be it. Like, hi, I'm live on such and such, right? Okay, boom. Okay, well, why should we vote for you? Okay, simple. You want the wildfires gone? Vote Newsom out. You want the homelessness to die down? Vote Newsom out. Do you want to stop walking around in feces and stepping on needles? Vote Newsom out. Are you sick of the rolling blackouts? Vote Newsom out. Are you sick of him locking you in your home when he goes out to the French Laundry with all of his elitist friends and you can't go anywhere? Okay, well, then that means you got to vote Newsom out. If you're sick of all of the above that I just said, vote him out. Simple. And call it a day. And that should have been it. But the fact is, the media glorified Larry Elder, Newsom, and his Democrat big dogs, money makers, and money donors made sure that Newsom won. So I knew immediately that Newsom would have this in the bag. Now, was I still hopeful? You bet. I was waiting for the surprise. I thought, well, Californians are so pissed off, right? Well, enough didn't show up. So they went ahead and just went, well, here we go. So if you're discouraged by elections, I get it. But this is what they want. They want you to be discouraged. So that way they can win every single time. And they don't have to worry about a damn thing. But the fact is, Newsom was scared. And you can tell the whole time he was trying to go against the recall. And the fact that the Democrats want to limit future recalls says everything. So the fact that, and if you legitimately voted no for the recall, then I guess you like the rolling blackouts. I guess you like stepping on feces and stepping on needles where you could get a disease somewhere. Forget COVID. You'd get maybe HIV. You get HEP. Any of the letters. HEP, any of the letters. You would, So go ahead. And you like the rolling blackouts where you are just on your computer and all of a sudden, vroom. And you also like seeing people's homes burning down due to the wildfires? Do you like the increased crime? Do you want to be scared to go out to eat lunch outside when you know that some mugger will come up to you gunpoint in your face to steal bags from you? Yes. And there's live video from that happening at a few restaurants in Beverly Hills. So again, if I were running against Gavin Newsom, and I doubt any of the candidates are actually listening, but if you are, then you got to ask those questions. Do you want those to stop? Then get Newsom out because you have the power to do so, period. I mean, I won't do that to you, but it's your choice to vote for whoever you want. But just make sure to get Newsom out. That's it. Because that's the whole point of this. The whole point of the recall was to get Newsom out of there and get someone new that actually will get the work done and save California. Done. So for those of you that voted no, shame on you. But again, the rest of the United States is not surprised. But I know for 22, Californians, you will rise and I have faith in you. Because you do. We don't have a choice. So I got to get into the news that I did not get to yesterday. And I got to start with this one. This is interesting. So New York is banning sales of new gas-powered passenger vehicles by 2035. You know, to save the planet. I'm thinking that Governor Hochul is doing this so people don't leave faster. Because, I mean, God, under Cuomo, people left in droves, right? Including myself. But under Hochul, even though I don't think she'll be governor by 2035, but who knows? Because we are in 2021, so if you do the math. My guess is that's her goal plan, that nobody is going to be able to leave New York. But we'll see. But this is what the article says on CBS. It says, New York is aiming to ban the sale of all gas-powered vehicles in the state by 2035. A bill amending the state's environmental conservation law was passed by the state Senate and Assembly and signed by Governor Kathy Hochul last week. Under the new law, 100% of in-state sales of new passenger cars and trucks will have zero emissions by 2035. That means state agencies will work to develop affordable powering options for zero emissions vehicles in all communities, improve sustainable transportation, and support bicycle and pedestrian options. Several agencies will work to create a zero emissions vehicle market development strategy by 2023. So all ensures more zero emission cars are available in the state. The order also sets a goal for medium and heavy duty vehicles in California to be zero emission, quote unquote, where feasible, by 2045. New York also hopes to reach that benchmark by 2045. Oh, boy, at that time I'll be 55 years old. That's a scary thought, isn't it? But I'm sure, you know, New York City will love this new crew of new electric garbage trucks while the crime, homelessness, and housing prices go up, 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 up. I mean, that's a pretty intense plan. Like, I get it. Now, look, battery power, look, I get it. They want to go more toward batteries, electric, that kind of stuff, right? Now, battery power is pretty cool, all right? And my sister actually just got a battery-powered lawnmower where you just charge it, and then it's an electric lawnmower, so you just ride along without the smell of gas. You know, that's a perk. I get it. It's pretty cool. But that being said, you got to ask, what is the goal here? I mean, what is your goal, California and New York? What is your goal? I mean, unless we have this magical battery revolution, whatever, in the next decade, I mean, battery-powered vehicles are still going to have limits. I mean, what are you going to think? I mean, I just have a couple questions here. Do you think people are just going to buy a super expensive SUV, electric SUV, I should say, that can only be repaired at a very special repair facility, which, again, makes the labor more expensive? I mean, how are you going to explain to the truck owners and the truck drivers, like the actual that do this for a living? I mean, how are you going to explain to them that they'll only be able to haul their fifth wheel or their work trailer a short distance before stopping? Including the, and I get they have those electric semi trucks, okay? I get they have those now, not many, but they have them. And I bet they're having some difficulties that we're not knowing about right now. But I'm just saying, are you going to also tell parents that they have to stop to recharge the battery every few hundred miles or so on the way to either Niagara Falls since you're in New York or to Disneyland if you're in California? I mean, it would be awesome totally to entertain your kids for an hour, totally, in a parking lot as opposed to filling up with gas in a couple minutes, like 2 to 3 minutes flat. Yeah. And that takes no time. And it's fast. The pressure is on point. Anyway, I'm just saying. And also, do you believe that 14-year-olds that are mining lithium in Zimbabwe, like, do you think they are going to save the planet by going for this over using conventional fuels? And by the way, the 14-year-olds that are doing that, that are mining in Zimbabwe, they're making battery recharged, okay, off of, you know, off coal plants that will be thrown in a landfill. That is what they're doing. I don't think they're going to save the planet over using conventional fuels. I'm just saying, that's what's happening. Also, what if you're a New Yorker who lives in the 99% of the state that isn't Manhattan? The outskirts. Because good luck finding electric stations if you're not a socialite or an elitist. Also, and then will you just let people know to expect reduced battery performance in the cold winters upstate? I mean, because, God, batteries just love nothing more than blowing snow and negative temperatures. I'm just saying. So, people are, that's just the way human nature is. People are going to gravitate towards whatever they believe is the most cost efficient and helps reduce pollution, because regardless of what the government says to grab power, most people actually care about smog, air quality, and waste. We do. We actually give a crap about that. So when the government is, again, mandating what technology is best, it doesn't let the market decide, and then it just totally negates new alternatives that might be better, because all they want is power. And we look back on these things, and even these days, we look back at some stuff and go, God, that was a stupid move. But we're especially going to look back on these a few decades from now and realize how stupid we all were. So good luck with that, New York. Let me know how that works out for you. Top North Carolina doctor asks marketing team to make COVID hospitalization numbers more scary in order to increase vaccination. So listen to this video. It's about a couple minutes long. You don't want to miss a beat on this one.
The dashboard and how it's set up myself, as far as how we get information out to the community on meaningful numbers, we do set on a weekly basis. So that's on our website, and we've been sharing that through social channels as well, particularly those graphics that show the number of patients in-house, the percentage of them that are unvaccinated, the percentage of unvaccinated people in the ICU, and the percentage of deaths and the numbers. So those are numbers that we put out, as far as we don't get into details of floor or
right.
Those other numbers are certainly out there.
Right. I guess my feeling at this point in time is maybe we need to be completely a little bit more scary for the public. Then there's another comment that I completely agree. There are many people still hospitalized that we're considering post-COVID, but we're not counting in those numbers. So how do we include those post-COVID people in the numbers of the patients we have in the hospital?
So is that all the people who have been in the hospital since the beginning of COVID?
Well, or is it that are still in it? And that's something that I can take to someone else, but I think those are important numbers. The patients that are still in the hospital, that are off the COVID floor, but still are occupying the hospital for a variety of reasons.
Okay.
Carolyn, we call those, I'm sorry, we're calling those recovered now. If you look at the Avant Health dashboard, they're listed as recovered. But I do think it, from our standpoint, we would still consider them a COVID patient because they're still healing.
Yeah. So I think that that needs to be highlighted as well. Because once they're off isolation, they drop from the COVID numbers. That's exactly right.
Kellen, we can talk offline and
how
we run that up to marketing. And,
right. So I'm just going to say, Carolyn, I think we have to be more blunt. We have to be more forceful. We have to say something coming out. You know, you don't get vaccinated, you know you're going to die. I mean, let's just be really blunt to these people.
Oh, my God. Really? I mean, the marketing director was already discussing what they were already doing. They were publicizing the number of patients with COVID, the number of ICU beds, the percentage of vaccinated versus unvaccinated patients, the general numbers you see shared on Facebook daily. I mean, that, oh my God. And then Dr. Mary Rudick chimes in. You know, Rudick was previously the chief of medical staff for Novant Health New Hanover Regional Medical Center. And she thinks that the numbers they are putting out right now, the actual number of COVID patients in the hospital, is just not high enough. I mean, it's just like, what? The fact that she says right away, when she says, quote, I guess my feeling at this point in time is maybe we need to be completely a little more scary, a little bit more scary for the public. Like, really? Excuse me? I mean, that is just, and I love that's why I chuckled a little bit, because another doctor, Shelburne Stevens, who is the guy talking, he suggests that they discuss the matter offline. Did you hear that? Discuss it offline before running those numbers to marketing. So there's some sneaky bullshit going on, and really pay attention to your local area. Basically, the threat is vaccinate or die. That is literally the message that they want to pass on to you. I mean, that's a very, very blunt message. But unfortunately for Rudick, if it was an actual true message, then she wouldn't have to lie about the numbers to make it seem more scary. Just the facts are fine for us. Just give us the actual facts. But go ahead, lie to the people. Scare them into getting the shot. It's for their own good, right? Damn. I mean, they're just... I mean, yeah, they're... This is happening all over the place. This isn't just happening here. It's happening at your local hospital as well. It is happening there too. So... There's just no going around this. It's happening. So they, so they're painting the pandemic in a worser than a way worse light to scare more people into getting the shot. Because that's the goal. And I don't want to continue listening to people like this. I don't know why people do, but they do for some reason. So I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, do you want to listen to people like this? Because I sure as hell don't. This is a really sad poll, but I'm also not surprised. It says, new poll shows that 14% of vaccinated Americans have dumped friends over their vaccine stance. Now, the thought of the COVID vaccines have deeply divided the American people. It's true. Enough so that 14% of vaxxed people have axed friends from their lives due to differences of opinion on the matter. And that's according to a new poll from One Poll. So it says 1 in 7 people have dumped their friends over COVID-19 vaccine stance. It says of those who ended a friendship during the pandemic, 66% are vaccinated and 17% don't ever plan to receive the shot. The poll showed that overall, 16% of Americans have dumped at least 3 friends from their lives since the beginning of 2020 for various reasons. It says a survey of 1,000 Americans conducted by One Poll on September 2nd examined why people have ended friendships in the last year and a half. Results show 16% of respondents have axed 3 pals from their lives since the pandemic began in March 2020. Now, here are some of the reasons. They had the cheating, lying, and different political opinions were on the list of reasons for this breaking of fellowship. One major reason was people's opinion on the vaccine. It says, of those who ended a friendship, 66% are vaccinated and 17% don't ever plan to receive the shot. 14% of vaccinated respondents, about 1 in 7, say they parted ways with friends who didn't want to get the vaccine. Even friends and the morning show star Jennifer Aniston claims she's ended friendships over vaccination beliefs. Wow, that's just great, isn't it? Wow, that is true friendship. So those who are passionate about the vaccines, aren't they just the most tolerant, open-minded, and compassionate people? Right? They're supposed to be. Yeah, that's just sad. I mean, wow, I thought friends were supposed to support each other, right? But it actually says here, the poll continues at the bottom here. It says the poll also showed the political divide we all know exists regarding the vaccine. It says a majority of Democrats, 81%. Are fully vaccinated, as well as 64% of Republicans, 69% of independents, and 41% of third-party supporters. Meanwhile, 7% of Democrats remain unvaccinated, followed by 27% of third-party supporters, 23% of Republicans, and 1 in 5 independents. So the poll showed that even 41% of Democrats think society is being too critical of unvaccinated individuals. Which means the whole Biden saying, you know, we are losing patience with, you know, his approach with that of forcing people to get vaccinated or lose their jobs. Well, wow, it's been quite difficult to sell that to Americans. So let's see how that pays off for him, shall we? A New York hospital has had to pause baby deliveries because too many staffers resigned over its COVID vaccine mandate. Ah, wow. This is interesting. So this is what KIRO7 in Seattle said about the story. So it says an upstate New York hospital said it will pause the delivery of babies in 2 weeks because of a spate of resignations by maternity unit workers who are objecting to COVID-19 vaccination mandates. During a news conference Friday afternoon, Lewis County Health System CEO Gerald Kerr said 7 of the 30 hospital workers who resigned were from the hospital's maternity ward. He added that another 7 maternity unit staffers were undecided about getting the vaccine, the television station reported. 20 of the staff members who resigned worked in clinical positions like nurses, therapists, technicians, the newspaper reported. Quote, if we can pause the service and now focus on recruiting nurses who are vaccinated, we will be able to re-engage in delivering babies here in Lewis County, Kerr told reporters. Ha! Good luck! Because, listen, this is the problem in the first place. It's the fact that they're mandating the vaccine. So, don't you think that's a clear sign that this isn't working, especially in Lewis County? So, and, you know, bottom line is, hey, if you're having a baby in the next 2 weeks, maybe don't go to Lewis County. Maybe you gotta deliver the baby in another county because they're having some issues in their maternity ward. Just saying. And if you need a therapy session, maybe go somewhere else as well. Yeah, so good luck, Lewis County. It sounds like you're gonna have quite a shiz show for the next 2 weeks. So Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo was on MSNBC's Out of Touch Elite, as I like to call her, Stephanie Ruhle. I think it's Ruhle or Ruhle. I forget her last name, but I think it's Ruhle. But, and then, of course, with one Out of Touch Elite comes another Out of Touch Elite, which is, of course, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, who, of course, is part of the Biden administration. So, yeah, she's out of touch. Here is the ridiculous claims that they both make right here.
I'm puzzled by these people who continue to say they're forced to get vaccinated here. There's always been a choice. If you do not want to get vaccinated, you can work from home. You can homeschool your children. You can shop online. So where is this coming from? People saying, I'm now being forced to be vaccinated. We never forced vaccinations on kids in school. If you didn't want to vaccinate your kids, you could homeschool them, and people have done it for years.
You're exactly right. Nobody is being forced. In fact, if you don't get vaccinated, you just have to get tested on a weekly basis. But the reality is the science is crystal clear on this. Get it, get vaccinated. These vaccines are incredibly effective.
Why are you forcing them?
They're effective, they are free, they work, and we just, it's unacceptable.
Why are you selling it?
It's unacceptable now that people aren't getting vaccinated. We need our kids in schools. We need the schools open. We need people to get back to work. We need people flying on airplanes. We need people in restaurants. We have too many Americans still out of work. And this is a simple, effective shot in the arm, if you will, that our economy needs. And there's no reason not to get vaccinated at this point in time. That being said, you're not being forced. You can work from home. You can get tested on a weekly basis. So I just think this is just smart public policy and great leadership by the president.
Our workplace safety agency, OSHA, was not...
Oh, dear God. These people are buffoons, man. They have no idea what the real world looks like. They have no idea. Absolutely none. They never left an office a day in their life. They have never worked hard a day in their life. Never. I mean, these people are idiots. Biden didn't create a vaccine mandate. Oh, dear God. Yeah, you have lots of other options you can take instead of getting the jab. Oh, my God. Like, that, like, how out of touch, like, that Stephanie says, you know, that if you don't want to get vaccinated, you can work from home. You can homeschool your children. You can shop online. Oh my God. Like, what the, like, I mean, and I love where she asked the, so where's this coming from? That tells me that her kids don't have this situation, or she's okay with her kids being in this kind of conundrum. I don't know. I mean, just, she has no idea how life works at all. I mean, but her point is, it's not technically a mandate because you could just simply, you know, alter your life to avoid getting the jab, because that's very simple, right? I mean, oh my God, let me guess. Her children have a nanny. She didn't have to worry about that, right? So that's my guess from this. So when she's like, oh, you can just homeschool them, it's totally fine, right? Oh my God. It's like, no, she's an idiot. And guess what? Not all jobs can be done from home. Not all jobs can be done from home. You freaking idiot. And guess what? Sometimes parents have to take their kids to their workplace because they cannot homeschool their kids. God. And look, I'm a big fan of homeschooling, especially in these days. I didn't used to be, but damn, these days, I'm all for homeschooling. But it's very hypocritical of these folks on MSNBC. They just think they can just alter their lives on a whim and no problems. They won't lose their job. They won't, you know. I mean, they really think that's how the world works. They snap their fingers and it gets done. Not always the case, Stephanie. Okay. I mean, Raimondo doesn't even help matters either. So, yeah, just all buffoonery. I mean, these are, now, if anything, that, my friends, is white privilege. Do you all remember the time when the elitists that are telling us we must take the vaccine and they're forcing it on us and all that stuff? Do you remember in the not so distant past that they said that they will not trust the FDA, the feds, or the vaccine? Yeah, this clip always makes me smile because it shows the hypocrisy times 10 million.
Frankly, I'm not going to trust the federal government's opinion.
Who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You could be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us. I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump. If Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
I don't trust the president, and I don't trust the FDA.
If and when the vaccine comes, it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that need to be done.
The American people don't trust the process. I don't trust the process.
Oh, really? Oh, but see, because Donald Trump was in office, right? President Donald Trump was saying, you know, he did the vaccine. He's very proud. Oh, but now? Then why should we take the vaccine? Because you tell us to. Joe Biden. Kamala Harris. At the time, Andrew Cuomo. Yeah. That's what I thought. Idiots. Hey, Common Sensocrats, make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm on Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. I am also updating videos for my YouTube and Rumble channel, but definitely subscribe to those anyway. So hit that button that looks like a bell so you can immediately get notified when those videos are released. Like and follow on all of the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Getter. Instagram, TikTok, Telegram, and of course, follow me on commonsensocrats.locals.com. If you have any suggestions on topics that you want me to cover and or have any questions, don't hesitate to email common.sensocrat@gmail.com. And now, back to the show. We'll get into more of a detailed episode regarding this issue a lot more because I do plan on doing the Where My Feminists part 2. This story came across my newsfeed couple days ago, and it says it's about a trans fighter, and they served in the Army Special Forces. Yeah. He/she obliterated first female opponent in MMA debut. Did you all hear about this? So this is a transgender fighter, Alana McLaughlin, wins MMA debut. But here we are in 2021, folks, where we've so progressed to the point where we allow biological males to punch the crap out of women on stage. Yep, that's right, folks. Alana McLaughlin, the second openly transgender woman to compete in MMA in the United States, won her debut Friday night via submission at the Combat Global Prelims, the preliminaries, in Miami, Florida. The 38-year-old used a rear naked choke against Celine Prevost to end the match 3 minutes, 32 seconds into the second round. Yeah, less than 4 minutes. I mean, if you've seen the picture, it looks really painful. It's really painful to watch. I mean, we have now reached the point at which society is literally allowing men to beat and choke women for sport. Here we are, folks. This is the type of issues we are talking about. This is not good. I mean, for those of you that say, this is equality, you're out of your freaking mind. Like, you're totally out of your mind. If you've seen what, well, she used to look like as a man, very, very big boy, big boy. Like 6 feet, over 6 feet tall and big bulky, probably I'd say about with muscle, I'd say about 280. Yeah, he was special forces. He was super buff. And then he decided to live as a woman. So, I mean, this is very upsetting. And I will get into this subject more in detail at another time. But listen, this is not okay. It's a biological man choking a biological female. But, I mean, you say equality, right? Well, here you go, equality lovers. Here you go. And look, I'm all about equality. Okay? But listen, if you're going to have a transgender female go against an actual female, that's a problem. Because like I said before, our body masses are different. There's a reason that McLaughlin won in less than 4 minutes. The body mass will never change. It doesn't matter how more feminine you get. It doesn't matter. You still have the same muscle mass and the same strength you had as someone that you were previously in the special forces. So you still have that strength in you, no matter what gender you change into. You will always have that exact same, that same muscle memory, if you will. So it's a shame that we've got to this point where it's acceptable to see men beating up women in public. It's great, let me tell you. Super, really wonderful. Since there will be no episode on Thursday, I decided to do education lightning round today. So let's get into it. Professors argue merit system is unjust because it rewards productive individuals. Two professors, one at the University of Arizona and one at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, argued in an article that, quote-unquote, success and merit are barriers to achieving the goals of justice, diversity, equity, and inclusions. Professors Beth Michnick and Jesse L. Smith also expressed concerns that universities receive funding based on the individual performances of their professors' work. Stanford bans indoor parties for its 95% vaccinated student body. Despite having 95% of its students vaccinated, Stanford University announced new prohibitions to, quote, help limit the potential for virus transmission, end quote, including limiting indoor events. Quote, indoor events such as residence hall meetings will still be allowed, as will private gatherings in a student's room, suite, or apartment with no more than four times the occupancy in attendance, Associate Vice President or Vice Provost Russell Furr said in an email. College textbook blames COVID deaths on Americans who oppose lockdowns. A North Carolina community college assigned a textbook to students that claims that COVID-19 lockdowns, quote, saved tens of thousands of lives, end quote, and Americans who disagreed with the intense restrictions caused deaths. Quote, most Americans responded to the pandemic by limiting their social contact, covering their faces when going out, and washing their hands thoroughly after they did. Yet, lives were lost because some Americans held beliefs that were at odds with the facts, end quote. Ohio State paid white fragility author $12,000 for Zoom talk. Ohio State University shelled out $12,000 in taxpayer dollars to prominent critical race theory grifter Robin DiAngelo for a Zoom lecture on white privilege. DiAngelo is an anti-racist consultant and author of the 2018 book, White Fragility. University of Kansas student body president shares Death to America tweet. The University of Kansas student body president and the Student Senate Twitter accounts both shared a tweet that read, quote, happy Friday, everybody. Death to America, end quote, with a laughing emoji. Student body president Naya McAdoo also shared a separate tweet that read, quote, the more you read American history, the more the whole death to America line sounds less like a terrifying, chaotic sentiment and more like a perfectly rational, if anything, remarkably reserved statement, end quote. California Education Board faces legal challenges to new ethnic curriculum as tech gods chant. The Chicago-based Thomas More Society law firm filed a lawsuit against the state of California's Board of Education over its proposed ethnic studies curriculum, which allegedly forces students to pray to Aztec gods. The lawsuit alleges that the curriculum is illegal to teach in taxpayer-funded institutions as government aid of religion is prohibited in California. LA School District implements vaccine mandate for eligible students. The Los Angeles Board of Education voted 6-0 in a special meeting to mandate vaccinations for hundreds of thousands of eligible students enrolled in the Los Angeles Public School District. All children 12 and older must be fully vaccinated against the coronavirus by January 22 to enter campus. Illinois music teacher resigns after calling student piece of shit for wearing mask below nose, vows to become a better human being. Illinois music teacher Scott Grigoletto issued a resignation letter after a viral video showed him cursing at a high school student incorrectly wearing their face mask. The high school teacher can be heard calling one student a piece of shit and threatening to call the police. Virginia teachers win $32.7 million bonus for extraordinary work during pandemic. Virginia's largest school district, Fairfax County Public Schools, shelled out $32.7 million in bonuses to teachers for their, quote, extraordinary contributions and sacrifices, end quote, during the COVID-19 pandemic. Most teachers in the district worked from home during the pandemic. The district used federal COVID-19 relief funds to pay teachers, bus drivers, and other staff for their extraordinary work. Though the district never returned to in-person learning during the 2020-2021 school year. And finally, school board member whose father led 9/11 hijackers mosque opposes resolution honoring victims. Fairfax County Public School Board member Abrar Omish forcefully opposed a resolution honoring the victims of the 9/11 attacks. Omish's father was on the board of the mosque attended by 9/11 hijackers and hired as its imam as a top Al-Qaeda operative. The school board member claimed that marking the 20th anniversary of 9/11 was not, quote-unquote, anti-racist. Thank you. America's oldest World War II veteran celebrates his 112th birthday. I know. It's such a beautiful story. It's the nation's oldest World War II veteran, and he got to enjoy an exciting time with friends and family as they partied for his 112th birthday on Sunday. And this is from September 13th, so it happened on the 12th. So here we go. I'm going to play this clip for you. It is absolutely amazing.
New Orleans celebrated big for a World War II veteran's birthday this morning. After all, he turned 112 years old. Carmen Chow has the sights and sounds of his celebration.
A blast to the past from the most authentic 1940s vocal trio, the Victory Bells, Lawrence Brooks' favorite singers.
He's the Boogie Woogie Bugle Bar Company B.
The National World War II Museum giving Brooks the ultimate celebration.
If you ask Mr. Brooks, why have you lived so long? He says his motto is be good to people.
Making sure he knew his service was appreciated.
It's not only what he represents, you know, he is the oldest veteran in the United States, and so he represents an entire generation.
A socially distanced drive-by Jeep parade to local musicians. And it was only right the residents join in on the fun.
And here we are having his 8th birthday party.
Reporting in New Orleans, Carmen Chow, Eyewitness News. I
do kind of laugh at that because I'm like, yeah, you can tell that's not socially distanced at all. And I love they said that. It's a socially distance, yeah, in their cars. But, dude, they're all, like, shoulder to shoulder partying it up. I'm like, hell yeah. And, yeah, Lawrence, congratulations on making it to 112. And thank you for your service. Wow. A big congratulations to the widow of Lance Corporal Riley McCollum, who has given birth to a beautiful baby girl, Levi Riley Rose. In case you, I don't see why you wouldn't remember, but these days everything gets swept under the rug. But Riley McCollum, who, he was one of the Marines who was killed by a suicide bomber in the Kabul airport attack, which is the one that left 13 U.S. troops dead on August 26th. So congratulations. She's such a beautiful little girl. If you've seen the picture of her, she's just so precious. So congratulations. And weirdly enough, if you've seen the picture of her father, she's looking a lot like her dad. So it's so beautiful and also tragic all at the same time because she'll never meet her dad. But congratulations on giving birth. And she came early. She wasn't supposed to arrive until September 22nd. But she arrived, so congratulations. And Cheyenne McCollum, who's Riley's sister, she said, quote, Levi is the most loved baby in the country right now, end quote. So, yeah, she sure is. And according to the reports, both the mom and baby are healthy and doing well. So congratulations again, and so beautiful. You're so, so beautiful. I forgot to also mention that I love that they gave her middle name named after her father. So Levi Riley Rose. And I just think that's a wonderful, just, oh, breaks your heart so much. But what a beautiful way to honor his memory. And Riley McCollum, thank you for your service. We will never forget that ever, ever. That'll do it for us, Common Sensocrats. Thank you for tuning into part 2 of yesterday's episode. I told you I was going to get into a lot. Yeah, it's just a lot going on right now, especially, I mean, I'm kind of overwhelmed with how much is happening right now. And, you know, like I said, you have to laugh, otherwise you'll cry. So, yeah. I'm just going to give you some good encouraging words here in this quote of the day. And it is an actual quote. I've had quotes 2 days in a row. Look at that. All right. Here we go. Trust yourself. You've survived a lot and you'll survive whatever is coming. Robert Toe. Thank you for listening, everybody. And I believe it's Toe. I can't remember how you say his actual last name, but I believe it's Toe. It's not Two. I don't think it's Two. Is it Two? No. Anyway, tomato, tomato. But anyway, those are very good words. And you will survive whatever is coming. Because yes, we know there is a lot coming. But we will survive. We will survive. And if you want to break out into that song, I know you want to. Go for it. I will survive. But anyway, but again, thank you for listening. And I won't have a Thursday episode, like I said, because I have a scheduling conflict. So my next local segment will be not next Thursday either. It'll be the following Thursday. So definitely stay tuned for that. And but definitely look out for my Friday episode with Princess Chloe, where we will be talking about episode 5. So yes, we'll be going over that. And until next time, everybody, bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and rate 5 stars in the Apple Podcasts. I need to spread the word as much as possible about this podcast, and you all are such a big help for that. So thank you so much, and I look forward to you all to listen to the next episode.